Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The pride of St. Francis High School in La Cañada, the pride of Northwestern University, the veteran Mark Loretta coming off the bench. 0-1 the count to Mark Loretta. Strike one pitch. Loretta gets one into left center. It's going to fall. Dodgers win it 3-2. Mark Loretta puts his mark on this one.
How about that?
That's awesome.
Get a little Vin coming in. Just... the pinch hit game-winning single of the 2009 NLDS. And it's because of that that this whole roster of Cubs is going to listen when this man speaks. He is the new bench coach for the Chicago Cubs. Here to talk Bears-Eagles with us because that's really all we're doing today. But Mark Loretta is on Twitter at MD Loretta. Hey, congrats on the new job, Mark.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What's the first thing that you and Theo and Jed and Joe all sat down and wanted to talk about when you took this new gig?
Well, it was interesting. You know, it just happened very quickly. Just got a call from Jed actually a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, do you have any interest in our bench coach job now that Brandon's gone on to Baltimore? And it really wasn't on my radar, quite honestly, but I said, hey, let me talk to my family, and so we huddled for a couple days, and my wife's from Chicago. We met at Northwestern, a lot of family there, and obviously a lot of reasons to think about going to the Cubs. So called back Jed and said, yeah, we're definitely interested, and flew out to Chicago, sat down with those guys, and then talked to Joe a few times on the phone, and then here we are. Away we go.
When you say it wasn't on your radar, do you mean coaching in general or the Cubs job specifically?
A little bit of both, yeah. So I've been with the Padres for the last 9 years in the front office doing a variety of different things, doing some scouting, some player development, some community stuff, all that. And what that really afforded me was the luxury to be flexible with the kids. When I retired almost 10 years ago, my son was 7, my daughter was 5, and I didn't want to jump right back into the coaching grind and wanted to coach Little League and take some summer vacations, et cetera. So, you know, coaching wasn't necessarily on my radar. However, when Jed called, it really got the juices flowing again. And at some point, I knew I wanted to get back on the field in some capacity, and this just seemed to be a good fit at the right time for everybody involved.
One thing we learned is that Joe Maddon is going to change the way he goes about his business a little bit this year at the behest of his bosses, wanting him to be a little more intense with the teaching, a little more out there doing some of the coaching that he's done in the past. And I'm wondering how it changes sort of the baseline level of the bench coach responsibilities from what Dave Martinez is doing, from what Brandon Hyde is doing, and from what you'll be asked to do as Joe's doing some different things this year.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, Joe is such a great teacher and you know, he knows so much about the game. So to get him, you know, involved with the players even more so and have them, you know, some one-on-one time, I think is key. So I think, you know, Jed and Theo and Joe, I think what they're asking me to do is be that liaison between Joe and the players and the front office, quite frankly, as well, because I think this day and age, there's so much integration between front office and staff and players. So, you know, I'm just really going to forge, you know, as good a relationship as I can with the players. Sometimes players feel more comfortable going to a coach than a manager just because of the manager's seat. So I understand that. And you know, also be involved, I think, you know, more so on maybe on the hitting side and the infield side, just because that's sort of, you know, my strength.
Talking with new Cubs bench coach Mark Loretta here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Mark, you said you spent 9 years with the Padres in the front office doing some various sundry things. What did you learn in those 9 years that you wish you knew as a player? Something that you feel might be important to get to players in your, you know, in those 25 now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I've learned a lot. First of all, you never realize how much time and effort and conversations go on in the front office about players. I mean, if I knew I was being talked about so much, I would have been nervous as heck. You know, I think the other thing is, you know, when I played, there used to be a little bit of a us versus them mentality, so to speak, where it was the players kind of against the front office or the ownership in terms of, you know, these guys are trying to hold me down, or, you know, I'm being platooned to keep my arbitration numbers down. And I can tell you, for being in front office for 9 years, front offices are not looking to do that. They are looking to put the players in the best possible position to be in to succeed. And when the players do well, owners and front offices are thrilled to pay them. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, when the team does well, everybody does well. I like the saying that, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. And I think players, you know, need to understand that it's everybody's in the organization is pulling on the same rope.
We talked to you on these airwaves years ago, I think when you were a Brewer. And if I remember correctly, we talked about your fondness for wine. And it was, you know, sort of before everybody really was kind of into it, and everybody had their own boutique label or that kind of thing. I wonder where it's gone since then, since you've been, you know, living in California, because I would think that you and Joe Maddon would have a lot to talk about, because that guy likes the good stuff.
Well, interesting you say that. Yeah, we've actually bottled a few vintages of our own wine that we actually grow on our property. And we've named it, you know, people call me Low, so my nickname's Low, and it's named Low Expectations. So, we wanted to keep that, it's very drinkable, but it's not going to be your 95 pointer, but it's been a fun project. Yeah, you're right. I like wine. Joe and I have talked about that over the years. We've shared a glass of wine together, and look forward to that, sure.
When you say that you're going to also work with both the coaching staff and the front office, is there a delicate level of politics in there? And I know that Theo and Jed are wonderful at communication and transparency, but I have been around some teams where no matter how hard people try to get everybody on the same page, there is a difference between the you're either a suit or you're wearing the uniform. And, well, if I say this and we're in the clubhouse, is this going to get back to Jed? Am I allowed to grouse about my bosses every now and then? If you're going to be in between, what's the best way to do that to avoid political pitfalls internally?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, for sure you want to gain trust with the players and with everybody in the organization. And I think that's that delicate line that, you know, you don't share everything with everybody all the time. But I think the bottom line is, you know, that people are pulling for each other. They're on the same rope. They just, you know, make sure that people are have the information, but also know that they can be trusted with whatever their issues are at the time.
So one of the things Theo said as the season ended, Mark, was that the offense broke somewhere along the way. And given the way the offseason has gone so far, and who knows, things could change, but it sounds like a lot of the growth is going to have to come from within the roster, unless you guys talked about adding Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in your meetings. And if you did, please set me straight. But what's the most important thing for a 25, a 26-year-old, a Kyle Schwarber, Javi Baez, Albert Almora, what's the most important thing for those guys to understand about what it takes to get to the next level while you're at the big league level?
Well, I think you're right. I think those guys had such success early on that I think it's important for them to remember that this is a game of adjustments. And when you're 23, 24 years old, you come into the league and pitchers adjust to you very quickly, or you have the advantage at first, but then they adjust. And I think it's up to our hitters to make that adjustment. And I think, a new voice with Anthony Iapoche coming in, who's been with these guys in the minor leagues, I think will help. But also developing that team offensive mindset where it's, you know, let's pass the baton, let's get on base, let's move a guy over, let's really concentrate on run scoring as a team and not necessarily worry about who gets the credit.
You mentioned Northwestern and meeting your wife at Northwestern and having the connections to the area. We got news late yesterday, that your buddy Pat Fitzgerald has put the kibosh on some of these rumors about a dalliance with some of these open NFL positions, that he is and will remain the Northwestern head coach. I don't think anybody's surprised.
Yeah, our buddy Teddy Greenstein was on that case from the start, for sure. You know, I was fortunate to spend some time with Fitz last week out here when they were practicing for the Holiday Bowl, and had a bunch of teammates, classmates out here. It was a great time. And what a second half. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but we looked like lethargic in the first half. Utah was running all over us, and then we scored 28 unanswered in the third quarter. So, yeah, thrilled to have Fitz. I mean, in Northwestern, just in general, I'm so proud of, you know, what Fitz has done and under, you know, Jim Phillips' leadership and Morty Shapiro. I mean, those guys have done a fantastic job. I don't know if you've been up to Evanston to see the practice facility, but it's really second to none. And I think next on the radar is to redo Dyke Stadium. And it's just an awesome time to be a Wildcat for sure.
What got you from California to Northwestern to go play ball? Hell, the Midwest to go play college ball?
Great question. Yeah, now my number one choice was Stanford, of course, being out here in Southern California. And I was talking to them. They ended up going with a different guy to play shortstop. So I had a couple offers from UCLA and Loyola Marymount, but both schools said you'll come in and probably sit on the bench for 2 years and play as a junior. But both Northwestern and Notre Dame said, you know, hey, can you come on in here? You'll play right away. And that was important. Going to the best academic school was important as well. But it was a big adjustment, no question. Coming from Southern California to the Midwest, I mean, playing Big Ten games in March is not the greatest thing in the world. I'm happy to be in Mesa versus Chicago in March this year. But, ended up being a great experience for me and really a growth experience for me.
Did Duke recruit you at all?
No.
Huh. Because it would overlap. You're 2 years younger than I am, and there wasn't a shortstop of note. I'm a little surprised. We probably could have used
it. Are you a Dukie?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, well done.
Well.
Yeah. No, I am.
I'm still doing this for a living.
Yeah, no, Duke wasn't on my radar back then. But, you know, such is life.
Yeah, the baseball team actually the football team's actually getting more attention than the baseball team. Is
Wisconsin didn't have one, so that's why
I
have
it. No,
Wisconsin shut down their baseball program, I think, when I was a sophomore.
Yeah, 91. Paul Quantrill is the last guy to make it out of there and play in the bigs.
That's right. Wow. Yeah. Good buddy of mine, Brett Weingarten, transferred over from Wisconsin to Northwestern. So
there you go.
Remember that.
Well, Mark, I hope you enjoy yourself as a Chicago Cub and standing there next to Joe Maddon. And looking forward to talking with you again as we get closer to the season, get into spring training.
Yeah, me too, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
That is Mark Loretta of the Chicago Cubs.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.